We just want to say what a joy, privilege it is for us to be here today in London, Kentucky, here at First Pentecostal Church. We greet you today on behalf of, as Pastor Jarvis said, just over 100 congregations. You've had a part in ministering in those churches. You've had a part in taking the gospel to other nations of Africa. And our human words of thank you are not enough, but there is one who one day will say to you, well done, good and faithful servants. Amen. Just want to greet everyone with the love of Jesus. Pastor Jarvis, greet you and all the saints here, partners. You've been so wonderful. You know, what you saw in this video is just a story, simple story of people that are able to get up, able to arise out of situations where it was humanly impossible to rise, but because of the power of Jesus, because of the resurrected one, they've been able to rise up, whether they've been bound by religion, bound by traditions, bound by sickness, bound by whatever, they've been able to arise and to stand up and to move on and to live a new life. The interesting story found in Luke chapter 15 is the story of the prodigal. And the statement that the prodigal made, I believe, is a statement that you and I need to once in a while say it ourselves, I will arise and I will go. Because it's so easy to be settled and comfortable and not want to do anything much, but just, you know, go through life doing our little bit and whatever we can do. But I believe the Lord is wanting to stir the church to arise to new levels of commitment, dedication. Are you with me tonight? You know, after 50 years, or more than 50 years in ministry, and I mean, I was 12 years old back there in the year 1954, you can work out the arithmetic. And so, in all these years, we've learned one thing, and that is, it's true as the saying is, there's only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's true, because eternity is coming soon. Heaven is coming soon. The prodigal decides that in spite of making a mistake, taking a wrong turn in life, in spite of starving, almost dying, perishing from hunger, he decides, he gets a picture of a place where there's a loving father, where there's faithfulness, where there's enough. And he starts to get up from the situation. You know, I look at that and I realize that humanity has gone on a long journey that's taken so many away from the Lord. Down a long road where, as it says, the prodigal thought he was going to the better life. Of course, he had in his possession, he had an inheritance of money. He had asked Dad for the early inheritance, and Dad did it, divided between the two sons. And so the younger one's off to find his fortune in the far country. So many have done that. And have discovered in life that, you know, there comes a time when the party is over. The money's gone. When the money's gone, the friends are gone. There's no more celebrating. There's no more rejoicing. That little time of pleasure, fleeting pleasure, is gone. But thank God, he's able to say one day, I will arise. I'm not going to stay here. And I believe it's important that you and I be able to arise out of different situations and move on into the things that God wants us to take possession of. Whether you're called to the United States of America to be a missionary here or called to be a missionary in some other foreign country, it does not matter. There is a work that the Lord calls the church to do. A very important word. It says in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, that at the pool of Bethesda, he found a crippled man. John chapter 5, it begins at about the first verse, but as we catch up with the story, the Bible says Jesus knew that the man had been a long time in that physical condition. He asked the man the question in John chapter 5, verse 6, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? And the man said, sir, I have no one to help me, to get me into this pool. Now, if you know the history of Bethesda, it's a strange going on. It's a situation Jesus never changed except he healed one man. But it was the thing that at a certain season the waters would boil, would bubble, and it was considered that an angel would come down and stir the waters, and whoever was the first one into the pool was healed. This man has a problem because he's tried to be the first one. He's tried, but two problems face him. Number one, no friends. Nobody waiting with him. Does that sound like life sometimes? When you're down, when you're out, when you're in the dump somewhere, when you're, you know, the friend isn't there, even family members not there, all alone. And it says, he said, and I'm not strong enough in my own strength to get in. Someone always gets in before me, and, you know, this is life, isn't it? Life is not really fair. God's fair. And the life that Jesus offers is fair, but the life of the world is not fair. And so he said, I can't make it. Now, he's probably felt like giving up, probably wondered what's the use. But Jesus steps into the situation, and I believe that in your life and my life, we are going to be facing perhaps some very serious situations. Economically, we're facing it. In many ways, we're facing it. We've got laws being passed in this beautiful nation of the United States of America that we never had passed before. We've got situations today with marriage and everything else. We never had it on such a scale as we have it today. And so things are changing, unfortunately, many times, not for the better, but for the worse. And so here we are. If we're not careful, we're going to be down. I mean, you can talk to people today. And very often what you get is a very depressing conversation. This is bad and that's bad. This is no good, that's no good. And, you know, people today in the state of Wisconsin, they're protesting, they're having marches, they're not happy about situations. And over in the Middle East, what's going on there, rioting and everything else, and around the nations of the world today, you know, people are complaining. People are, you know, just not able to get on with life. But this is where Jesus changes it. Praise God. He steps into your life and my life. He enables us to rise when nobody else is there, no friend is there. He enables us to get up in an impossible situation. Pastor Jarvis here at the beginning of the service told us to rise. Why did we rise? He didn't threaten us. He didn't have a whip here. He said, look, if you don't rise, I'm going to use the whip on you. No, he didn't threaten us. But he gave us a good reason to rise. He said, we're going to pray. We're going to worship the Lord. You know, we're in the presence of the Lord. And so how did we arise? Wasn't just because he said, let's arise, but something went through our minds that it was a good thing to do. We heard some words to arise and to worship the Lord and to praise the Lord and to pray. And in our minds, we said, yes, I will get up and I will enter into whatever I can do in my worship of the Lord. And so this is what happens. You see, it's not a case of, you know, we just automatically get up and rise because we're puppets on a string. And when somebody says rise, they pull the string. And so we just jump up and we're, no. We think about it. We have to make a determination that we are going to rise. And when Jesus told this man to rise. Now, when Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? Somebody might think, well, that was a foolish question. Of course the man wants to be healed. He's waiting at the pool of Bethesda. He's waiting for the waters to stir. He wants to be the first one in. He wants to be healed. But you see why Jesus asks questions. He wants to hear the heart. He wants to hear the confession. Whenever Jesus asked a question, he already knew the answer. Are you with me? He already knew the answer, but he wants to hear what's in the person, and he hears the heartbeat of this man. I have nobody to help me. I'm helpless. My strength is not enough. He asked the man one day whose son had an evil spirit, and the disciples tried to cast the evil spirit out, but the evil spirit was not going out. And Jesus asked the father, how long has this spirit been upon your son? Now Jesus knew how long, but he heard the father say, my son has had this evil spirit tormenting him, trying to kill him, trying to burn him in fire, trying to drown him in water. He's had it since he was very small. Please help us. If you can do anything, and that's what Jesus is waiting to hear, please, Lord, I need a miracle. We need to get desperate sometimes when there's a situation we face and it's not humanly possible. There's not enough human wisdom, human power, human strength to get us up and to get us out. And the world doesn't have the answers. We need to realize that Jesus is waiting to hear the cry of your heart and my heart. And he hears the cry of this man. He said, sir, I have nobody to help me. I struggled to get in, alone, weak, and I do not make it. Somebody always gets in before me. Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man has to decide, is he going to do it or not? And thank God he decides that the voice that he's hearing is a voice of authority. There's something in that voice, and he's able to rise. I don't know what your situation is tonight, my brother, my sister, dear friend, but I do know we have situations in the world today. We have an enemy that is determined we will not rise. He's determined we will not get up out of the situations that bog us down. We will not move on to the greater things that God has prepared for those who love him. He's determined he will hold us down. He will keep us powerless. He's determined. He hasn't changed. But greater is he that is in us and for us and has our back 24/7 than he that's out there ruling the world as a roaring lion, as an angel of light. Name him what you want, Lucifer, devil, demon, doesn't matter. Greater is he that is for us. Hallelujah. How many times have we fell down? Discouraged. Sick. How many people today, Pastor Jarvis named a lot of names. You named some names of people who are down with illness, with sickness. We have more sickness today, cancer and other things than we ever heard of in earlier years. But today we still have the same powerful Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. He has not changed. Whether he's in Africa, he's working there. He's working in the United States of America. And I believe more than ever before, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to know that he loves us. He has not forgotten you in your situation. He has not forgotten you. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. For some people, that doesn't take too much in the later years. Not too many to count there. But it's true. He's numbered the hairs of our head. And it says if he knows when one sparrow falls to the ground, how much more does he love his people? Hallelujah. What holds us down is a verse in Proverbs that says, though a good man may fall 7 times, he will get up again. And that's what the Lord does when we're determined that we're still going to serve him. Like Job of old, we're going to trust him. Though he slay us, we will trust him. Come what may, we will trust him. He says, in the last day I know when I've died and the worms have even started to eat this body. He said, I will rise up and I will see my Lord face to face. I will see him for myself. I will see him. And though he slay me, though he allows me to die, I will trust him. Can we trust him with our problems and our difficulties? Have you looked at Job? Wasn't exactly a good life, was it? When you come to chapter 3, the devil was determined he's going to break Job. God had said to those sons of God that came into his presence one day, and there was the devil. And God asked the devil, where have you been? He said, oh, I've been just moving up and down the earth. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, oh yeah, I know Job. And I know you've protected him, but if you remove that protection, he'll curse you. Well, God allowed a certain protection to be removed from Job, and you know, he lost his animals, his children died, and all kinds of things. And then finally, you know, God said to the devil, how about my servant Job? He's still trusting me, he's still serving me. The devil said, oh, but just let him lose his health. Let him lose his health and he will curse you. God said, okay, but you shall not kill him. And you hear, know the story when you come to Job chapter 3. Where do we find Job? We find Job sitting in ashes. Sitting, or today, if you don't have ashes in today's society, it would be sitting in the dump somewhere, sitting in the garbage heap somewhere. And he's scraping these sores that are oozing with pus, scraping them with a piece of pottery. And as he sits there, three friends join him, so-called friends. And for 7 days, they said not a word. They sat there mourning, trying to feel Job's pain. But you see, at the end of the story of Job, where's Job? He's not sitting anymore in the ash heap. God has revealed himself to Job in a new and a wonderful way, and Job has repented of whatever he said wrong and whatever feelings he had that were wrong. But this is what happened in Job's life, and sometimes it has to happen in your life and my life. God said to those three friends of Job, he says, what you said was wrong. But he said, I want you to bring a sacrifice, and I want Job to pray for you. Do you think God's asking us to pray for some people that have offended us? You know, we as humans, we like to carry a grudge, don't we? We like to carry this anger, this unforgiveness. But before Job could be blessed, he had to pray for his tormentors, his so-called friends. He's no longer sitting in the ashes. He's risen up, and God says, Job, now pray for your friends. And Job prayed for his friends. And then God blessed Job and gave him more than he had in the beginning. I believe sometimes we have to get up from the place of anger and frustration and unforgiveness and bitterness and whatever it is. Maybe feeling sorry for ourselves. I don't know. But we have to get up and start forgiving somebody. Start praying for somebody. It's not easy, but hey, it's the best way. We saw a really magnificent saying today as we were driving down from near Louisville up there. Prayer will not work if there is no forgiveness. Did you know? Prayer will not work unless there is forgiveness. In other words, you and I can pray and pray and pray, but if we are not willing to forgive somebody, if we're holding bitterness, unforgiveness, hate, our prayers are not going to do very much. And so this is a thing for Job. He had to arise, get up from his place, pray for those friends, forgive them. When you read Acts chapter 9, it's the story of the conversion of Saul. When you read Acts chapter 26, Saul is giving his account, or Paul at that time as he's called, is telling King Agrippa how the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. How many of you know the story of Saul on the road to Damascus? Did you know that, well, there's a few words in chapter 26 as Paul gives the account to King Agrippa that we don't read in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is sort of the very short version of his conversion. But in Acts 26, he's telling King Agrippa, he says, and when the Lord Jesus stopped me on the road to Damascus, he said, Saul, arise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this reason. This is found in Acts chapter 26, beginning of verse 15 to verse 18. He says, Saul, arise upon your feet. I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a witness. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. I'm sending you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to bring them out of the power of Satan and bring them into the power of God. Now, if you can get the picture from Acts chapter 9, as Saul is on his way to Damascus to take believers prisoner, take them back to Jerusalem where they will be tortured and killed. He hates the believers. He hates the name Jesus. But before he gets to Damascus, Jesus, with his glorious light, breaks into Saul's life, strikes him down blinded. Saul lays upon the earth, hears his name, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When the Lord told him to rise, something had happened in Saul's life. You see, Saul had letters had a letter of authority from a chief priest or chief priests giving him permission to take Christians as prisoners. And so as he lays upon the dirt there, he's got these letters of authority. He's got this purpose, this permission. But when he stands upon his feet, he has said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do we see all of a sudden as Saul arises? There's been a change of plan. There's a change of purpose. No longer is it the letters. No longer is it taking believers prisoner. No longer is it killing the believers. Now it's doing what Jesus wants him to do. You and I have to be careful, because it's so easy to carry on our person some purpose that may not be heaven's purpose. Are you listening? We can be enjoying life. We can have a good job, earn good money. In spite of the economic problems we face today, our health can be good. But that does not mean that we are absolutely 100% doing what God wants us to do. And what we need to do sometimes is stop long enough and say, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I where you want me to be? We've sung those songs time and time again about being where the Lord wants us to be. And we sang it tonight with the wonderful help of our sister here. I'll say, yes, Lord, to your will. Where you send me, I will go. But is it true? Are we doing it? Or are we doing what we want to do? Are we doing what we feel comfortable doing? There's a book out that says, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. And it's true. We're going to have to get out and move along somewhere. And make sure that when we get up, when this mind tells us get up, when in our spirit there rises this determination because we've heard the voice of Jesus saying rise, we've heard somebody coming and encouraging us saying rise in the name of Jesus. When we rise up, we've got to know that we're rising up to a new purpose, to something new, something greater than when we were sitting there. Life is better than sitting, my brothers, my sister. But it has to be, we've got to do something. We cannot be sitting all the time in the recliner. We cannot be sleeping all the time. Jesus told his disciples when he was in the garden there and prayed, and under that anguish and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, he comes back and finds the disciples, what? Sleeping. What does he tell them? He says, arise and pray. Sometimes that's what we need to do. Arise from our sleep and our lethargy, whatever, I don't know. But I'm sure we can pray more than we pray now. I challenge us. So many times I say, David, you got to pray more. And I want to pray more. And we need to pray more. But he told the disciples, arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. We're facing an enemy today. Powers of darkness today. They don't have to be in Africa. Those powers of darkness are here. There's such a spirit of confusion, such a spirit of lack of respect and all the corruption, spirits of corruption that have come into our nation. A nation that used to be standing true, where the name of Jesus was not something that you were afraid to speak, where you could pray anywhere. Oh my, we don't have it anymore. We've got laws forbidding prayer, forgetting the use of the name of Jesus. Laws telling us we cannot condemn certain people because of their lifestyle. Oh my. A person can't help but get a little angry. What do we have to do? Get up and pray. Get a hold of these powers of darkness and choke them in the name of Jesus. Get up and say, devil, you've had it your way long enough. Enough, enough is enough. I'm going to get up. And I'm going. That's what the prodigal said. I'm getting out of here. I've had enough. I'm going back to where I know there's love. There's forgiveness. Hallelujah. There's mercy. Oh my. Acts chapter 3. A crippled man is sitting at the beautiful gate. He sat there every day. Somebody carried him there. People, persons carried him there, left him there. And there he begs. Every day somebody passes by. Every day gives him a little few coins to keep him going in life. One day Peter and John come. And Peter, as they come to this man, They look at him, and Peter says, "Look up, look at us." And the man looks up, expecting to receive something abundant. Peter says, "Right now I don't have any silver or gold, but I'm going to give you something else. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." I believe that's the church today, with the power of Jesus, reaching out to people who have been there. The religion, how many religions passed by this man? How many times religious people went into the temple, in and out of the temple, going to pray, worship God, giving him a few coins, and there he is every day begging, every day crippled. Until one day, somebody comes with the name of Jesus and with the power of Jesus and reaches out a hand and says, "Rise in the name of Jesus." Reaches out a hand and gets this hand by his right hand and lifts him up. What's the man going to do? Is he going to draw back and say, "No, thank you. I'd rather sit here and beg the rest of my life. It's an easy life. I don't want to get up and be healed. I don't want to have to go back to work. I'd rather live on welfare." No, he doesn't say that. Something in his mind and his spirit accepts the hand of Peter, and he's lifted up and he's healed. Hallelujah. Oh, my. That's the church in action. That's what's happened in Africa. People that have been down, religion has passed them by. Hinduism, animism has passed them by. Buddhism has passed them by. The worship of Islam has passed them by, and they're left broken. They're left without spirit until Jesus comes along. That's the story that you saw tonight on this. Prisoners, maybe in there for life. One man testified that he was on death row. And then when the new government came in 1994, he was released from death row, place where they said he'd never get out again, he'd never see his son. Oh, but he said, "I met Jesus. Now I know Jesus." He said, "In my old life, I knew what drugs were. I knew what criminal activities were. I knew what gangsterism was. But now," he said, "I know Jesus." Hallelujah. That's you. You were there in your prayers and your giving. You were there to take the gospel into those prisons. You were there in those communities helping to feed the hungry. You're there helping to teach the young girls and the young boys to keep their lives pure, that those young ladies don't have to become pregnant before marriage. They don't have to be teenager mothers. They can keep their lives pure until the right man comes along. Oh, that's where you were. That's where you've been, in Africa, in other places. I do not know all the missionaries you support, but I want you to know one thing. You're there. And not only are you there, but you're here in London, Kentucky. And there's somebody out there needs to know the power of Jesus. We need to tell them as soon as we can. We need to be out there telling people to rise. But maybe we ourselves need to get up. Need to get up from the place of comfort where we've done it this way all along. You know, one of the hardest things in Africa to get people to change is because they don't like change. If something has worked good, don't change it. If the machine is running, leave it. And of course, one time the machine breaks down, then they try to fix it, but it's a bit late. Oh, it's hard for people to change, but it's going to have to happen. We've got to pray that God help people to change. And maybe we also need to arise and say, "Lord, I'd like to pray more. I'd like to become an intercessor. Lord, help me to rise. Help me to get up, Lord." And I believe there are people here that are in places of pain. And we've prayed for names. We've prayed for Brother Roy and Brother Huff and others who are in a place of affliction. I believe we need to really get a hold of that prayer of faith. We need to pray, "God, help them to rise up. Leave that pain, place of pain and suffering, and be able to move on in the greater things of God." Oh my, if Jesus could visit the pool of Bethesda for one man and change that man's life. If Peter could reach out a hand and say to someone, "In the name of Jesus, it's time to get up and walk," and reach out and help him up. Oh, then it's time we get a hold of God as never before and see miracles, miracles. And I believe that God has purposes that we don't know yet. Sometimes we think because we're getting to the late years, we can retire. I've discovered in the Bible, there's no term for retirement. There's no talk of retirement. Did you know that? Absolutely no talk of retirement. Doesn't matter how long you're in ministry. And so, Brother Jarvis, I don't know how long you plan to be in ministry, but it's going to be a long time until Jesus comes. But Jesus might be just around the corner. His coming just around the corner. But you know, when Don and I look at ourselves here, when we started in South Africa in the year 1961, married in 61, April 3rd, 1961, we never envisioned 50 years down the road. We just took it one day at a time. That's all. But here we are 50 years later, come April 3rd this year. It's hard to believe that life has been so, all of a sudden, we're down the road. And you know something? We try to slow down, but there's no slowing down. There's no slowing down. Our young people in Africa say, Mom and Dad, you're traveling too much. Our daughters, three daughters living up there in Wisconsin say, Mom and Dad, you're traveling too much. But hey, when the Lord opens doors like this to visit our partners, we've got to be there somehow. And so here we are. We're still going. You get older people. You know the old leaders, old men of God. They're not slowing down. The only time we retire is when we get there into the presence of the Lord. Then we talk about retirement, but there I think we're going to be quite active. But would you join me tonight in prayer? I know there's something maybe you want, something for yourself or someone else to rise up and be more effective, do more for God, pray more, whatever. There's a rise up and pray for somebody that needs to rise up out of the place of affliction and pain and suffering. Someone needs to rise up out of that place of where they made the wrong choice like the prodigal, took a wrong turn in life, headed in the wrong direction, but praise God, there's forgiveness. Let's pray, would we? Would you stand with me right now? And let's believe that we ourselves, if necessary, will arise to do more for Jesus. We will arise, the Church of Jesus Christ, First Pentecostal Church, or whatever church you attend in London. We will arise to be all that God wants us to be. So that one day when we stand in His holy presence, we, like Paul, will be able to say, I fought the good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith, and now I'm waiting for the reward, and I know the Lord's going to reward me, and He will not only me, but all those who love His appearing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord. Keep us true. Keep us faithful, Lord. Help us to rise, oh God. To rise knowing that we are living the real purpose that You have for us, Lord. Not our purpose, but Your purpose, Lord Jesus. Your purpose, Heavenly Father. Help us to rise with that divine purpose, with that divine calling, and that divine anointing. Use us like Peter and John. Use us, Lord, to reach the lost. Oh, God. Help us to rise. Help us to rise in the name of Jesus. Be determined like the prodigal said, I will arise and I will go. And so, Lord, we, Your people called by Your name, we humble ourselves. We turn from our wicked ways, and You promised You would hear from heaven. You promised You would forgive our sins. You would heal our land. Oh, Lord, right now, we help us to arise, Lord. We rise. We tell You, devil, demons, powers of darkness, You will not hold us down. You will not hold us powerless. You will not hold our children powerless. You will not hold our grandchildren powerless. We command in the name of Jesus that our sons and daughters are saved. We see them saved, born again. We see our grandchildren saved. Hallelujah. We see them rising up. We see the chains of bondage falling away. Oh, Lord, we thank You. We claim our children. We declare no devil, demon, power of darkness will destroy our children, our grandchildren, or great-grandchildren. Will not destroy our people. We declare miracles of healing, Lord. For people like Brother Huff and Brother Roy Crawford, Lord. We declare divine healing that they will be able to rise out of that place of pain and affliction. Arise, healed, made whole by the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. And every name that was brought to Your presence tonight, Lord, every name that was mentioned by Your people here, Lord, we declare miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance, miracles of salvation in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we, Your people, arise, help us to rise, Lord, to more prayer, more trust, more faithfulness, Lord. Help us to arise, O God, out of our places of comfort. Step out of the boat and experience what it is to walk on water and to be where you are, Lord, in the midst of the storms. Oh, Lord, I thank you right now for First Pentecostal Church. I thank you for Pastor Jarvis. I thank you for the leaders of this church. I thank you for every person that occupies a position of responsibility and ministry in this church, that they be empowered more than ever before. In the name of Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Whatever is holding anybody down here tonight, we declare in the name of Jesus that they arise. My brother, my sister, dear friend, will arise now in Jesus' name. Arise to the great life and purpose, Lord, that you have for each one of us. I declare that First Pentecostal Church, Lord, will be the scene of revival upon revival upon revival, oh God. And out of this church an army will go that will go through the length and breadth of the United States, will go to the nations of the world in Jesus' name. It can happen, Lord, because with you nothing is impossible.